Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and beginning to read at verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And then also reading from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 50. Found on page 62 and question 125. What does the fourth request mean? "Give us this day our daily bread" means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we can come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither work nor worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. Dear people of God, there are quite a number of passages, of course, that we could profitably turn to in regard to this subject before us this evening. And certainly, you know, one would be the passage in Matthew that tells us not to worry, not to lay up fast house treasures in heaven, but rather to seek his righteousness and his kingdom. And that all of these things that the Gentiles run after, desire, need, that they will be added to us. And of course, Jesus himself mentions in this passage the passage of the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. And God, as you know, provided them literally with manna from heaven. I mean, there's nothing more dramatic, there's nothing more obvious in illustrating this truth than what they experienced. It literally came down from the sky. And they had to collect it. And not only did they have to collect it, but they had to collect it every day. I mean, we usually go to the shopping, of course, once a week and get a whole and fill a house up and then we're good. But God didn't do that. He said, every day I want you to go out there. Every day I want you to collect it. So that it would be ingrained upon them that our nourishment comes from God himself. And we might be interested, of course, to understand that he says that on the sixth day they were to collect twice as much because he wanted them to keep the Sabbath. So that on the seventh day they wouldn't collect it. And that, of course, was before the law of Moses was given, indicating, of course, that the Sabbath was in effect from the days of creation. And also, of course, we can't forget, as we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper in a couple of Sundays, we can't forget that passage, of course, in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. And God reasons with us. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. So there are many, and of course, what God told Moses, of course, in Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the teaching before us this evening is written at large in the scriptures. And so the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Prayer, in teaching us how to converse with God in our daily walk with him, emphasizes this. So from the Lord's Prayer, we move on from glorifying God, adoring him for all that he has done, and wanting that work to come to a wonderful end, a wonderful fulfillment, now moves on to the life that we live in this life. We do want his kingdom to come. We do want his will to be done. We do want everything to be finalized, as it were. But at the same time, we don't forget that we're here for a reason. We have a job to do. And what a wonderful privilege that is for us, to live in this world. So often I have to remind people that I speak to, even this week. The lady was, I was talking with her, and she was, you know, talking about the struggles that she had and people that are, you know, not trustworthy and stuff like that. And I had to remind her, I said, look, as Christians, this isn't the most wonderful environment for us. Because in a sense, we're in enemy territory. We are left here for a purpose, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to save those that are perishing. But we do so at a cost. We do so at a cost. We are open to diseases, we're open to getting injured, we're open to natural disasters hitting us, we're open to other people doing criminal acts towards us, as well as, of course, being persecuted because we're Christians. We're open to all of those things. But why? What do we get out of it? Nothing. So why do we do it? Because we love to preach the gospel. We love to see people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He opened himself to all kinds of abuse, just from this world, never mind from his Father in terms of the punishment for our sins, but from this world. But he did it gladly. Why? Because he loved us. And so we shouldn't be surprised that we have struggles in this life. But the thing is, God understands that. He knows that. A country that's sending soldiers to war would be terrible if they didn't provide for what the soldiers need. If you say, well, you're not going to get anything, we just want you to go and fight. Well, who does that? I don't think anyone would join up. But they are taken care of. They are provided for, right? In every respect. And so that is the way it is with God. He sends us out, as he himself said, as sheep among wolves. He understood the danger. He understood that we have to contend not simply against flesh and blood, if that's not enough, but against principalities and powers. We contend with the devil himself. The devil is real. The devil is active every day. And we as the church have to stand up against him. We have to preach the gospel with that opposition. And so God doesn't leave us to our own purposes. He doesn't leave us without direction. He doesn't leave us without equipment. He provides for everything that we need, both spiritually and physically. And so that is what the Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to keep in mind. And in order that it may be kept in our minds, he tells us to pray. To pray that the Father would give to us our daily bread. To emphasize the fact that every day we need him. We can't just carry on and say, well, I know enough, I can carry on myself. No, we can't. We need strength every day from him. And so again, we need to personalize it ourselves and ask ourselves, how is it that we depend on God every day? How is it that God feeds us every day? How is it that you derive your strength every day? If you don't need strength from God, then how do you survive? How do you manage? No, we need to go to him. And we need to receive from his hands that food and that drink that will satisfy our soul, as Isaiah says. That's what will give us comfort. That's what will give us peace. That's what will give us strength. And without that, we are just treading water. Without that, we're like vagrants in this world, accomplishing nothing. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his dialogue with the Jews and the Jewish leaders, puts these things in very, very clear terms, so clear, in fact, that they were confused. I mean, he says to them that I am the bread of heaven. And they're kind of scratching their heads. And he said, well, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're thinking he's crazy. I mean, as though they're so naive with language that they can't understand what he's getting at. And so we want to look then this evening at this whole subject of our daily bread. And the first thing that we want to remind ourselves of, and our passage teaches that clearly in Jesus' words, and that is that it's the bread of heaven. Our daily bread is the bread from heaven. It is from God himself. As I say, that may be an obvious statement, because bread, of course, represents, is a metaphor for not only the physical bread that we need, the physical needs that we have, but also the spiritual needs. But whichever one we look at, the answer is still the same. The answer still is that bread comes from heaven. The physical food that we need comes from heaven. The spiritual nourishment that we need equally comes from heaven. And it came, of course, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. It came in form of the Son of God, because that's what we needed. People think we don't need that. The Jews didn't think they needed that. They thought they were fine in and of themselves. God taught them certain things. God gave them the law. They had Moses. That's all they needed. Just a little bit of instruction, just to tell them how to act. That's all they needed. They didn't need anything else. They didn't need saving. Just a little help, a little hint would do. But to have somebody come down and die for them, and that they're sinners, and that they are in such desperate needs? No way. We don't need that. And that's the state of the world today. They don't believe they need saving. A little hint, maybe. Good teacher he was, and we could use some of the things that he said. Other things, of course, we don't like. They're kind of old, primitive. But we certainly don't need someone dying for us. We're not that bad, so the world says. But we are that bad, that God had to send his own son we are that bad that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had to get together. They had to make a plan. A plan that took great effort to unfold. The Son of God himself volunteered to come down, volunteered to empty himself, as it were, to become a servant. He volunteered to come down to this earth and become the Lamb that was slain. Our problem is not a little problem. It's not that we're hungry, just a little hungry, just need a little handout. No, no, we're starving to death. We're starving to death. And without the intervention of God, we would starve to death. But God in his infinite mercy has provided, as I say, what we need. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comes down himself and he's saying to them, look, I am the bread of heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. It was a sign, right? It was a sign of God's provisions for them, both physically and spiritually. He said, look, they received manna from heaven and they ate that manna and it helped them, but they're dead. They're dead. I am the bread that comes down from heaven, that if someone eats me, they will never die. They will never die. Again, we look at Isaiah 55. God warns us. Why do you run after these things? They cannot satisfy you. Come to me. Come buy from me. Without price, wine and bread that will satisfy your soul. Wasn't Augustine that says that the soul finds no rest in this world until it finds its rest in God. But the world runs here and there and everywhere, and individually and collectively, and tries to find some rest in this world, some way to make sense of this world. And they keep pursuing it, and they keep pursuing it. But they refuse to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the religions are really the worldly alternatives of denying that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's provision for us and finding some other means, some other avenues. And they get most offended when we quote the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one comes unto the Father but by me, he said. I am the bread of heaven. There is no other bread. There's not some other person that God sent to India or China or Russia or anywhere else. No, God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of the world, and that's why it says the world. So if your heart is hungry, if it's thirsty, if it has no rest, has no comfort, has no peace, then let me tell you, God has answered that need in the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't find it anywhere else. You won't find it in any religion. You won't find it in any pursuits that you might engage in this world to occupy yourself and occupy your mind and have so-called purpose to your life. There is no purpose to life without him. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. All of our life under the sun, all the things that we engage in under the sun, can be summarized by that common phrase that he uses, it's vanity of vanities. It doesn't satisfy the soul. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes from God, and God has provided him to us. And his own people wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't accept that. Why? Because they thought they could do it in and of themselves. And this bread. Again, it's not advice. It's not a good example that he came to give. Why would he give a good example? He gave them the law of Moses. He could have given them more and more revelation in terms of if the Lord Jesus Christ simply taught us things, then he could have done that through the prophets. We have the whole scriptures. Jesus didn't write any of this physically himself, right? I mean, of course he is the author. But he didn't write it himself. It came through the apostles and prophets. So God could have done that. We didn't need an example to cure the soul. We needed a heart transplant. A heart transplant. More than that, we needed a new nature. We needed salvation. We needed forgiveness of sins. We needed God's wrath being removed from us. We needed to be reconciled to God. We needed to become His children. We needed to have fellowship with God once again. We needed to walk with Him and talk with Him and receive from Him the nourishment that we need for our souls. We needed the assurance from Him that we are at peace with Him and that He is taking care of us. That's what we need. That's what gives us peace. You remember in Philippians, he talks about that, all the struggles that we have in our hearts and problems that exist. When we pray to God and make those things known to Him and thank Him and praise Him, what's the result? Right there, when we make those things known, it says that our hearts are filled with peace that passes all understanding. Well, God hasn't even answered the prayers yet. How come you have peace that passes all understanding? Because we know it's in His hands. He's never going to fail. The moment that He knows, He will take care of it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, puts it very graphically by saying to them, if someone doesn't eat my flesh and doesn't drink my blood, then he's not a part of me. I mean, that's the close connection that we have to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, obviously he's not saying literally that we have to be engage in cannibalism. He's not saying you have to eat me and drink my blood. After all, we're not supposed to eat blood, right? Because that's the life of the person. No, what Jesus is saying is that the way that you are provided in terms of this spiritual bread, the way that that is provided for you is through my death. It's through the shedding of my blood that you will receive that comfort, that you will receive forgiveness of sins. That's what he's talking about. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, it is then that our sins were dealt with. It's then that all the charges that the devil brings to us were finally settled. Not by saying that they are false and have no ground. No, no, no. They had enough grounds, clearly enough grounds. God didn't say, well, there's no charges against these people. What are you talking about, the devil? No, no, no. He had all of those charges written. They were legitimate charges, absolutely legitimate. If they weren't legitimate, Christ would have rumpled up the paper and threw it away. But he didn't. He didn't. Every one of those sins, the Lord Jesus Christ took responsibility for. And by his death on the cross, we are told in Colossians that he nailed them to the cross. In other words, paid for them in full. And again, not to the devil, you understand, but to his Father in heaven. And so the Lord Jesus Christ provides propitiation for us before the Father. And so now, Romans 8 tells us, now there is no condemnation to those in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, doesn't that fill you with comfort and peace? I mean, isn't that true liberty? We are reconciled to God. There's not an outstanding warrant against us. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live as fugitives, fearing and running away from God. I mean, where are we going to go anyway? We can't escape from God. We're never going to miss that appointment with Him where we stand before His throne. It's going to come. But now we have an answer to that. We have no fear of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Not because we're so good in and of ourselves. No, because we are clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we've received that bread and eaten that bread and drank that blood. And we have the forgiveness of sins. And we are clothed with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, we struggle with sin every day in our Christian life. We're not perfect. But God is working in us. But in the meantime, as we are progressing in our holiness. We don't live in fear. We don't say, oh, but if I die today, I'm not quite ready. We don't have that fear. Why? Because we are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have His perfect life on the one hand, and all of our sins that we have committed, He has already paid for. So when we stand before God, before His judgment seat, then everyone will see the wonderful results of Christ's death on the cross, that we will be received into God's favor. And they will not say, but that's not fair. Why? Because the payment was paid in full. And so we can look forward, as our catechism says, and the scripture says, we look forward to that day. We want that day to come quickly. Why? Because we have no fear. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has provided everything that we need. And so you have to ask yourself that question. You know, when you think about death, when you think about your life coming to an end, and when you think about you standing before God, all I'm saying, you have to have knowledge of why you will be able to stand there and have peace in your hearts. If we don't know, then how is it that we can say we really do understand the gospel when we can't really apply it to our lives? We live in fear just like everybody else. No. Jesus doesn't want that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear to us that He's provided for all that we need. And He has given us His word so that we can feed upon it. We can think about it over and over again. We can think about the gospel over and over again. Why? Because sometimes we forget. Sometimes the devil confuses us. Sometimes he argues with us about things that are happening and try to take away that peace and comfort. And so God has even written it down so for our learning. And so we need to dwell upon those things. We need to remind ourselves of those things. Just like we need to eat every day to nourish our bodies, also we need to look at these truths over and over again so that they become a part of us, naturally a part of us. So in all the struggles that we face, we may continue to have that wonderful assurance that we are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to make use of the means of grace. God provides us with food, as I pray, but we do have to go out and work. God provides us with all of this spiritual nourishment and assurances, but if we don't read the Word of God, if we don't attend to the means of grace, if we don't come to church, if we don't worship God, if we don't hear these things over and over again, then they will not benefit us. We'll forget. And we'll get weaker, and we'll get weaker. And our Christian life will become more and more troublesome. No, we need to make use of the means of grace. We need to feed upon His word day by day. And the gospel, of course, must never, ever become something that we take for granted, something that we neglect, something that we don't think about. Just in the same way that we don't do that with food. We need food. We all know we need food. We're going to look at that in a little bit more detail in a minute. But if we get used to food, oh yeah, food, who wants it? And we stop eating, I mean, it's going to have a very quick effect upon us. And so if you don't have that comfort and assurance, and it isn't with you every day, then the solution is, hey, you need to go back and hear what Jesus is saying. You need to read His word. You need to apply it to your life every day. This is not theory. Food is not a theory. We need to eat it every day. The gospel isn't theory. You need it every day. We are in a war zone. And without that, you are going to be lost. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ also provides us with the physical food that we need. Because we live in a physical world. We live in this world. We have to conduct our business or the Lord's business in this world. And so we have needs. Our bodies need food and they need drink. And so, just think about it. If God so loved us that He sent His Son into the world for our spiritual needs, how in the world do we think that He's not going to take care of our physical needs? I mean, is that too much? obviously, when we look at the world, we see that he's taken care of that. He has given us a world that adequately provides for our needs. The starvation that we have in this world is not because God doesn't provide us with enough food, is it? I mean, it's not because there's not enough food in this world that there are countries where people starve. It's because of the way that we use that food. It's the way that we distribute that food. We have mountains of food in certain countries, and we think it doesn't make economic sense to send it to countries that have the need. I mean, that's how confused we are. So it's not that God is failing in providing food. The earth, the way that he's created it, has adequately provided for the food that we need for thousands and thousands of years. It's man's organizational methods that create all the problems, the inequalities that we have in this world. Not because of God. No. God every day provides through his creation everything that we need in terms of our lives. And so we have to look to God for those. And the Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear, did he not? By doing it in a miraculous way. So when he had the 5,000, 4,000 people listening to him, and he says to his disciples, bring food for them. And they're like, well, we don't have enough food. No way. We don't have enough money. In fact, we don't even have enough shops to go to get that much. And so the Lord Jesus Christ asks them for what they have, and he prays and he multiplies that food so that 4,000 could eat it, and there was lots left over. I mean, the world can't accept that, so they say, well, no, he didn't really do that. He had a little bit, but then everyone had stuff, and they all put it together, and they all ate, and there was a lot left over. In other words, Jesus didn't do a miracle. But that was the whole point he did. I mean, where did the food come from in the wilderness then? Did they all have a stash or something? No. It came down from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ multiplied the food, and he was showing to them what he does every day. If you think 4,000 is a lot of people to feed, or 5,000, I'm telling you, he feeds billions every day. Every day. It comes from his hands. He's the one that makes it grow. As Paul says, in terms of the spiritual aspect, but equally apply, of course, to the material aspects. One sows, another one reaps, right? Or waters, but it's God that gives the increase. I mean, how does it make sense to us that we can put something in the ground and 30-fold comes up? But that's the way God has created this wonderful world for our benefit. And so the Lord Jesus Christ feeds these people so that they would understand that it's from God that we receive all the food and the nourishment. Even though we have a part in it in terms of sowing and watering and stuff like that, it comes from God. And for the disciples to understand that God isn't just about religion. That it's just that's not all God is interested in. He's interested in every aspect of our life. And so when his people suffer, he's there for them. When they are hungry, he's there for them. You remember Elijah when he was so down and depressed and he was running away and wanted his life to end. God provided him with food. He used animals to bring food also for the woman at the brook. God cares for you just like your parents do. Parents are not just interested in your education, are they? They're not just interested in that you are a good person and that they teach you the right thing. They're interested every day. They think about providing you with food. Every day they think about providing you with the clothing that you need. Everything about them. And at no cost. At no cost. I mean, God doesn't send a bill down, does he, from heaven every year? This is what you owe me for what I've provided? No. It's free of charge. God cares for us, and he has given us this bread day by day, and we are to see it as coming from him. But again, there are avenues by which we can receive that. God doesn't send a food parcel to your door every day. Well, at least it's not mine. He doesn't, does he? He's given it to the world, and we need farmers to work the ground, and God blesses it and multiplies it. But yet we're not all farmers either. So what do? We have to go to work. We have to earn money so that we can pay those farmers for the work that they do and receive from them what God has given to them. He's given it to them freely, but of course they had to make a lot of effort and work and expense to grow those things. So we give them money and we receive food from them. So we have to do certain things. And that's why Paul says, look, if somebody is lazy, if somebody will not work and wants to sponge off everybody else, then we need to teach him a lesson. We are to let him go hungry so that his stomach may be able to teach him something. Because obviously we can't, because he won't listen to us. So let him go without food. And then maybe he will learn that he needs to work and use the avenues that God has wonderfully provided for us. And so as Christians, we need to understand, yes, I need to work. I need to get a job. I need to develop talent so that I can earn money so that I can make use of the means that God has provided for us. Work should not be looked down upon. Work is the avenue by which we receive from God's gracious hands, by which we survive, by which we receive food every day. And as I say, it's similar in the spiritual realm too. God provides all of these things, but we have to use the means of grace. I mean, we can have a wonderful table in terms of food, but if we don't come to the table and eat, it's not going to benefit us. We can have the most wonderful services and the most wonderful Bible studies, but if we don't come, if we don't make use of them, how will we be fed spiritually? I mean, why would children say, oh, our parents never feed us, we're starving? And you say, well, do you go to dinner? Well, no, I'm too busy. Well, what complaint do you have? What complaint does any Christian have of being part of a church and then saying, oh, I'm spiritually starved? And then you say, well, do you attend the means of grace? Do you go to church? Well, no, I can't always make it. Do you go to any Bible studies? No, I am too busy. Well, then Paul's statement applies to them too. If you're too lazy to go to those places, then starve. Then starve spiritually so that you can learn your lesson. To put some priorities in your life. We need to put priorities on the needs that we have. Our heart is crying out to us. It is at unrest. It wants comfort. It wants peace. And it's crying out to you. And God has given you provisions for it. Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me. I will give you what your heart needs freely. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to him every day, both for your spiritual needs and physical needs. And he will provide them and has provided for them. You need him every day. Without him, we cannot take one step. Let us live in fellowship with him. He is our Father in heaven, and we need to be part of his family. And we need to go to him. We need to speak to him. We need to fellowship with him. And we need to receive from his hands that bread and that drink. That when we take those and drink and eat them, that we will live forever and have all the strength in the world that we need to enjoy him and to glorify him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are indebted to your grace on every level. Without you, there is only death. Without you, there is only misery. Without you, there is fear of judgment. But with you, there is liberty. With you, there is comfort. With you, there is peace. With you, there is strength of the soul. And our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you provide for us these means of grace whereby we may be fed and strengthened. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might indeed receive these wonderful truths and that they may give us the strength of heart and mind to go forth into this world and to call others to faith and repentance. And so that our Father, others that are dying, perishing, hungry, souls that are not at rest, that they may hear, that they may believe, and that they may come to finally rest in you and in your wonderful salvation. Our Father, we're thankful for this day of rest. We're thankful for the encouragement that you give, and we pray, our Father, that we may indeed go forth and serve you in this week, for you deserve all of our praise and all of our service. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.